This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place, where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams.
That's us.
And happiness ain't out of reach.
Lucky folks. Be born in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Back on What's On Your Mind. Hello, everybody. I'm Scott Hannon. North Dakota's Attorney General Drew Regley joining us in a moment. Bottom of the hour, Governor Doug Burgum will join us on the program to talk about his income tax proposal for the legislature and a few other things on his mind today on the program. And your calls, questions, comments, welcome for both of our guests, all of our guests. Your opinions always welcome here on What's On Your Mind. You can text me at 701-237-1590. You can email us, studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. But we love when you call us. And you can call us, of course, anytime at 701-258-0550. While the show is live on the air between 9 and 11 a.m., 8:30 until 11 if you're a listener of the flag, Central Time weekdays. Otherwise, you can call us 24-7 at 855-200-1776, 855-200-1776. Texter says, I love the flag guy. Well, we all do, too. Jim, the flagpole guy, is the greatest. And we're looking forward to his grand opening of the Mandan headquarters for the U.S. flagpole guy. And Jim, the flagpole guy, the ND flagpole guy. You can find him at ndflagpoleguy.com, usflagguy.com, or call him at 701-571-FLAG. Enjoy our chats with Jim, the flagpole guy. He'll be at Big Iron next week. We will as well. Live in the Freedom Matters USA studios today, let's get rolling with another hour of What's On Your Mind. Welcome to the program, the Attorney General of our great state, Drew Regley. Drew, thanks for joining us.
Scott, it's great to be with you and your listeners. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
So you gave a press conference that I'm going to ask you to recap for our listeners a little bit here today, and in reaction to the North Dakota Supreme Court decision. Just start at the beginning on this. What was before the Supreme Court in this Hendricks versus Jaeger case? What was your advice to the Secretary of State? Where, bring us back to the beginning on this, if you would.
Yeah, well, this is an initiated or they're petitioning to get a constitutional change onto the ballot for this fall. There's a well-established process under North Dakota law. And in that process, the petitioners turn in, the thousands of signatures that they need. And they, I can't remember what the exact number was. I think they needed, 31,000, a little over 31,000 is what they needed. They turn those petitions in, and then the Secretary of State's office goes about their process of sampling and figuring out, whether all the laws of North Dakota have been complied with or not. And what became evident early on in this process, incidentally, it involves term limits, on which I'm agnostic. I mean, I have no opinion one way or the other. It doesn't matter. I mean, what the subject matter is, what matters is whether the law is complied with. The process goes forward no matter what the subject matter, as long as they're complying with the law. So Secretary of State's office called a while back and let us know that there were some apparent irregularities with the petitions that have been handed in. A number of them, I met with them, the members of the Secretary of State's office, his staff, and the Secretary of State, Al Jaeger, went through those irregularities. I then got the BCI, the Bureau of Criminal Investigations, involved, and they we launched a bit of an investigation just to see what we could find out from the people that were circulating the petitions and so on. And I don't want to belabor it, but they went through and they found not only, I mean, there were many, many signatures of people who didn't reside in North Dakota. Of course, you have to reside in North Dakota, so those were violations. There were petitions were being circulated by people who were not lawful voters in North Dakota, and that's required under North Dakota law. So they weren't those weren't lawfully being collected. They had we had our BCI investigators talk with and collected all the information, and it was discovered that one of the notary publics who had to certify the validation of petition, you know, whole groups of petitions coming in, had accepted fraudulent signatures from a whole, you know, from thousands of signatures, and the list goes on and on and on. That was one of the central issues in this. One of the a notary public accepted 11 different signatures for the person with the same name, 11 different signatures, and then by affixing their seal, certified that, oh yeah, this was the same person who was bringing in all these petitions. And well, at the end of the day, it was fraudulent. They had 11 different signatures for this Chloe Lloyd was the name that was used, and there may or may not even be a Chloe Lloyd. They never did march into the Secretary of State's office and identify themselves, but 11 different signatures for the same name and many thousands of alleged signatures coming in underneath that name, and this notary public is certifying all those names as the same person. And so the Secretary of State made the judgment, I'm not going to allow any signatures to come in that came in through this notary public who's certifying, quote unquote, you know, the correctness of validating these petitions that came in. And I know from looking at them that they're fraudulent. They're forgeries. And so the Secretary of State, I think, very reasonably concluded, we can't count on any of the work that this notary public did. I mean, I make it, think of any of your listeners. Think about it. They're going to their bank. They go to their bank 5 days in a row. First 3 days, they go in there, and their bank keeps underpaying them. When they keep their cashing check, their bank keeps underpaying them by $100 on the checks that they're cashing. And they discover it after day three. You think they go back to that bank and say, gosh, you know, I like the way they do business over there. Or, you know what, I'll give them another try tomorrow. Secretary of State concluded professionally, rationally, reasonably, and I say within his discretion, that he wasn't going to accept any of the work of this person who had clearly accepted a number of fraudulent signatures from people who collected thousands of signatures. And so we go forward with the case. We present our investigation, including some admissions of guilt by some of the people who were collecting signatures, admissions of fraud, admissions that they were paying bounties on people who would get more and more and more signatures. All these things violated state law. All of this then is presented to the Secretary of State by our office, and he reached the reasonable conclusion that he wasn't going to certify this, that it didn't comply, that it didn't. A, enough signatures were removed by taking out the signatures under this fraudulent notary public. But then on top of that, there was all this other fraud, financial fraud and otherwise, involved in the process that he wasn't going to certify that to go to the ballot. Well, we met with them. We met with the proponents of this thing, Jared Hendricks and others, and went through and gave them an opportunity to explain themselves. I said it yesterday until I was blue in the face. Interestingly, they didn't even refute the allegations of fraud. They never said they never refuted any of it. What their argument came down to was this. Well, fine. This notary public accepted 11 signatures that are obviously not the same person. We're not even going to try to prove that it was the same person. We're just going to leave that alone and just say you have no right to knock out the rest of the signatures that came in under, you know, through that same notary public. And that's what they stood on. Well, the first thing that Supreme Court did, Scott, was they sent it to the state district court, a very experienced litigator in his own right, Judge Hill. He was across decades was one of the North Dakota's top litigators and then became a judge and is a very experienced and capable judge. They gave it to him for findings of fact. He went through, conducted hearings, listened to witnesses, evaluated all the evidence, looked at the signatures, looked at the forged signatures that went to this notary public, went through all of it, and issued findings of fact that were scathing. I mean, he pointed out the obvious. The Secretary of State, when confronted with all this fraud on all these fronts, reached a reasonable professional conclusion that he has the constitutional authority to make, that this would not be certified. He upheld the Secretary of State's holding in every possible respect, made findings of fact, just as the court had ordered him to do. And then we go by a week later, the court hears the arguments, and they get down to the end of it. Again, the petitioners don't even push back against the issue that there was all this fraud. They don't make, because they couldn't, frankly, they couldn't make any case that the fraud didn't exist. They just basically said, you didn't prove enough fraud.
You know how much, that to me is a horrible precedent here, because we're saying some fraud's okay. I don't know how to read
the Secretary of State doesn't get to reach that judgment, and they concluded basically, we're not even going to go into the question of all this other fraud, because Secretary of State, couldn't remove all these other
signatures. Yeah, so you render the Secretary of State powerless to take on fraud and say how much fraud is enough. What do we do about it going forward? We'll ask you when we come back.
PetroServe USA, home to home cook and grab and go convenience and great deals all month long, like liquid ice, 16-ounce cans, 2 for $3.50. Twizzlers, strawberry twist, $1.69. Giant sunflower seeds, only $1.39. How about this? Pizza Corner pizzas, $6.79. 28 packs of Ice Mountain Water, only $3.99. And any size fountain pop, 79 cents all month long. Lowest price deal around and great deals. PetroServe USA. Tell them Scott sent you. With a history in North Dakota dating back 70 years, Hess Corporation is committed to making a positive impact across communities in the Bakken. Hess, making significant commitments to improve our environment, targeting zero routine flaring by 2025. Committed to the production of clean, sustainable energy for the nation and the world through significant reductions in our carbon footprint. Hess, a trusted energy partner for North Dakota.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming August auctions include 276 acres of exceptional cropland in Montreal County, 913 acres of good cropland in Rolette County near Rolla, North Dakota, 154 acres of excellent cropland in Cass County near Page, North Dakota, and in Minnesota, 424 acres of highly productive cropland in Clay County, 160 acres of cropland in Marshall County. View these auctions and many more land and equipment auctions at Piper's.com.
Did you know that the oil and natural gas industry touches every corner of North Dakota? It's true. Each year, the industry pays over $2 billion to the state of North Dakota. That money flows across the state, funding everything from education, roads and flood control projects, to social services and law enforcement. Learn more at ndpetroleumfoundation.org. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas. Advancing the possibilities.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Back on What's On Your Mind, brought to you today by MyPillow. I could go through, look at the deal on the sheets right now. Look at the deal on the slippers right now. Fall's coming. How about those blankets? Everything is up to 66% off right now. The Let Freedom Ring sale. Mike Lindell said, just take everything. Up to 66% off. If you go to the Radio Listener Square, when you go to MyPillow.com, you'll see the whole list right there. And you know what? It's a gift-giving treasure trove. I would also tell you, We're getting rave reviews from folks who love my coffee, and that's at mystore.com. So mypillow.com, promo code Scott, or mystore.com, which is a whole host of great products, U.S.-made products, U.S. entrepreneurs that can, you know, number one, it's a way to say enough already, the big box stores and the cancel culture and everything else. Buy your products right there. Great gift-giving ideas. MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, promo code Scott, or call 800-506-9028. Back with Drew Wrigley, the Attorney General of North Dakota. Bottom of the hour, Governor Burgum will join us to talk about tax cuts and more. So stay tuned for that as well, coming up on What's on Your Mind. So here's my question. The Supreme Court is essentially saying you don't need a Secretary of State, a constitutional officer, to decide this. How do you shore that up? How do you fix that going forward, Drew?
Well, I mean, it would take some more precise wording than this, but I think I would hope that from this decision of the court, that the legislature would at least contemplate the idea of enshrining in law the idea that if a Secretary of State, after doing a complete evaluation, as was done here, if the Secretary of State finds that the process and what's been done is so fraught with fraud that they, by a preponderance of the evidence, conclude that it shouldn't be certified, that that's the standard that they can exercise their executive authority with. He's a co-equal branch of government of the court. He's a co-equal branch. We don't work for the court. I point this kind of stuff out all the time. People asked me yesterday, is it a legitimate opinion? Yeah, it's legitimate. And then, you know, they're not infallible, though, I'll tell you that much. They're final, but they're not infallible. And the legislature can still speak to this and say, oh, no. We're not going to make a system where people can just back up a truck to the Capitol, dump off a bunch of stuff, and cross their fingers and hope there's not enough time for the Secretary of State's office to get through each and every signature on there. I mean, you're looking at petitions all throughout this thing where people are signing from out-of-state addresses. People are collecting signatures. They're not themselves electors in the state of North Dakota, as they have to be. People acknowledge they were getting paid bounties for getting these things. And then you've got this issue with this Deb Toe, who certified, as a result of this process, the Secretary of State went through, Scott, of the tens of thousands that they submitted, the names, 29,000 were disqualified. And that decision was completely upheld by Judge Hill, who held a hearing.
Why have laws? Why have laws? You got a notary fraud law. You got a pay per signature ban. You can't have out of state. Three of those things are prevalent here. And the North Dakota Supreme Court said, it's okay. It's just a little bit of fraud.
Yep.
I'm appalled.
Yep. It's okay because they threw up some spaghetti and a little bit stuck on the wall. And I'll tell you what, the court didn't get around to enunciating what they think the standard of review should be. How should a Secretary of State reach a conclusion like this? They don't even bother to put any of that in there. So you're left with a situation where literally I think the power of the Secretary of State's office has been called seriously into question. I hope that the legislature will evaluate this and conclude for themselves that we have to have a guidepost in place where we can have somebody overlooking the process to make sure the laws of North Dakota are being complied with. This is a great process that we have. We can initiate measures. We can initiate constitutional change. That's a great process. But it has to be done in a lawful, credible fashion. And where it's not, our Secretary of State, with a transparent evaluation and decision-making process, should be able to reach those conclusions as the chief constitutional election officer for the entire state. It's as simple as that. So the legislature, I think, will probably be evaluating that and how to enshrine that in law. And again, that'll remind the court too that they don't always have the last word. I'm frustrated by that. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I've been in and out of courtrooms for 30 years. You don't always get the decisions that you want. Someone asked me, is it a legitimate? Yeah, it's legitimate. They're not infallible though. They spoke finally on this and left a lot of us kind of scratching our heads wondering, you know, how did they reach that conclusion when their colleague, Judge Hill, the week before, who held the hearing, who looked at the witnesses, and by the way, the lack of witnesses, the other side didn't even produce witnesses to say, oh, no, we didn't commit any fraud. They didn't because they couldn't. But they didn't have to, I guess. The Supreme Court said, nope, you didn't prove enough fraud. That's got to go on the ballot. I don't think that serves the people of this state, and I think the legislature's going to have to wrestle with how to build in a standard to show that, yes, indeed, our Secretary of State have this authority for which they then are accountable, like every other executive officer in the building.
question for you from a listener on a different topic. How is the abortion ban going? And will this be another case of an activist judge unilaterally invalidating legislation passed by the state and signed by the governor?
Boy, that's well articulated. I think, you know, you read through the injunction that was issued by a state court judge, and I feel confident that under the new case law out of the Supreme Court on Dobbs, obviously reversing Roe, you're in a situation where the duly lawfully passed bipartisan legislation from 2007 that was signed into law by then Governor John Hoeven and has been on the books, that is going to be allowed to take effect. I mean, the people have spoken through the democratic process, and that judge is blocking it with, I think, you know, I'm looking at it wondering how it could be any clearer. Roe v. Wade was reversed. That was the condition precedent. That's been removed. And now the law is passed by the legislature. It happens to be bipartisan. Piece of legislation signed into law all those years ago should be able to take effect. Pretty straightforward. So that's what we're battling to do. We're seeking to have the injunction lifted. But for the time being, again, you know, we comply with court orders, of course. And I don't want to give the impression I don't respect courts. I do respect courts, but I don't bow down to court. They're co-equal branches. And these matters are in play, and we will continue to push on this matter and other matters where the people speak through the democratic process in our state, enact laws, and it's our job to do everything we can to ensure that they're carried out. When now going back to this petition fraud situation, you know, now I feel like it's going to be our job to point out to the legislature, if you want to see your will carried out, want to see your laws carried out, apparently you're going to have to tweak them a little bit, and I hope that they do.
Just quickly on the pro-life legislation in North Dakota, the injunction, as you said, respected for now, but being challenged. What is the timeline on that?
Well, that's one of the problems that we have, Scott, because if it gets into the briefing, I'm told the briefing schedule, this could take many, many months to be addressed by the court. And what I conveyed was that I'm you don't want a situation in law where the other side just, you know, gets an injunction, which is not a decision on the merits at all. They get an injunction and basically win by stopping the process. They don't win on the merits. They just win by stopping the process. And so they block North Dakota law from taking effect. That doesn't serve our state. It doesn't serve our democracy. It doesn't serve the process. So we're gonna try to expedite everything that we can do to get that decided on the merits.
Great.
As quickly as possible. That serves the process, and that's what we're seeking to do around here. So I don't have a clear guide for you except to say people can rest assured we're pushing this.
Good.
Aggressively, as we will.
Out of time, but we appreciate the update. Drew Wrigley, North Dakota's Attorney General, thank you. Governor Doug Burgum, next.
My name is Kevin Skunas. As a farmer here in North Dakota and a past president of the National Corn Growers Association, I've seen firsthand how critical ethanol is for our economy, our environment, and our farmers. I support Summit Carbon Solutions because they share the same vision that I do for the future of our state. By collecting and sequestering carbon from our ethanol plants, we are lowering the carbon footprint of an already clean-burning fuel, thereby creating more economic opportunities for ethanol producers, strengthening the market for corn growers, and driving the future of the energy industry that has been so important to our state's economy. Summit Carbon Solutions is committed to respecting landowner rights when working with our property owners. So, join your neighbors and me in helping to move this critical project forward. To learn more, visit www.summitcarbonsolutions.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A Democrat official in the Las Vegas government who was the focus of stories written by murdered Las Vegas investigative reporter Jeff German was arrested in the case Wednesday on suspicion of murder. Clark County Public Administrator Robert Tellis was taken into custody after a standoff with SWAT. Authorities searched his home for hours earlier Wednesday. That's according to Metro Police Sheriff Joe Lombardo. A California sheriff's deputy was arrested after allegedly killing a married couple in their Dublin, California home early Wednesday morning. Dublin is about a 35-minute drive north of San Jose. 24-year-old Devin Williams Jr. was taken into custody less than 12 hours after a search for him. Williams is a member of the Alameda County Sheriff's Department and was off duty at the time of the shooting. The National Football League season kicks off tonight in Southern California as the Rams host the Bills. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
My tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
Today from PetroServe USA Home Cook and Grab and Go Convenience. Personal pepperoni pizza, two homemade cookies, and a 20-ounce drink. Four items for $4. That's the inflation buster every day, all day, PetroServe USA. Here's what you get. Lowest price fuel around, choice at the pump, travel the state with that E88. You're going to get a great, great price there. And E85 even more so. Check the price there. Telling you what, folks, it's the way to go. Plus, home cooking and grab-and-go convenience, too. Valley City, Harwood, West Main Avenue. Meatloaf today in Glendon and 45th and Fargo. The meatloaf is on. PetroServe USA, home cooking and grab-and-go convenience. Tell them Scott sent you. Governor Doug Burgum joins us on our Newsmaker line. Welcome back, Governor. How are you?
I'm great, Scott. Great to be with you.
So we have not had a chance to visit with you since you put a proposal up front with some legislators regarding North Dakota income taxes. So I want to talk a little bit about this plan to lower income taxes in the state of North Dakota. Talk a little bit about what you'd like to see the legislature do here.
Well, we did make an announcement, Scott, very exciting one about called the income tax plan called Relief for All. This effectively eliminates income tax for 60% of North Dakotans, eliminates for 60% of North Dakotans. And for those folks that would be the 40% that would still have to pay some, we're cutting their income tax almost in half, and we would have the lowest flat tax in the nation at 1.5%. Really pleased when we made the announcement to be standing up with Tax Commissioner Brian Crocius and also House Tax Chairman Representative Craig Hedlund, who I know has been on the air with you, a number of other Senate lawmakers that were there. We think it's got broad legislative support. And obviously, at a time when you've got Biden inflation hitting record levels at, a 40-year high for inflation, this is a chance where the state of North Dakota, because we've been conservatively managing our budget, our revenues are strong, all of our reserve funds have never been higher. This is an opportunity for us to put some money back, put taxpayer money back in the pockets of North Dakotans. And we're very excited about it. And we think it comes on the heels of what we passed last November with Representative Pat Heinert from Bismarck. And broad support from the legislature was a package that was, providing about $210 million of tax relief for 500,000 North Dakotans in 21 and 22. This package would take place so that it would pick up in the 2023 tax year and would provide about $250 million of income tax relief annually. So it'd be seamless with the tax relief that we passed last November that North Dakotans are currently enjoying right now.
You know what I like about it? I know the argument over the years has always been, oh, it's not that much money. It's a smaller percentage of the overall federal, so it really isn't a big burden. Property taxes are the big thing. we ought not worry about income taxes. It's, you know, it's a big price tag, and it's just, those are the arguments you've always heard against it. I'm always like, what about branding? I mean, South Dakota doesn't have an income tax. You know, now you're eliminating it for 60% of North Dakotans and having the lowest flat tax in the country. That's putting out the flag that says North Dakota is a low-tax state, right? That's important, isn't it, Governor?
Absolutely. You get it completely, Scott, because we're in a battle like we never have been for workforce. I mean, we're battling every other state right now, and having a low-tax or no-tax environment on income tax is one of the key things to help attract workers for all of our, you know, whether it's a small business or the great companies we have in North Dakota. It's one of the things that makes it attractive to live here. And so when we've got, you know, some of the, you know, the blue states around the country that are, you know, raising taxes and adding regulation, North Dakota, where we're, you know, about cutting red tape, we're about innovation instead of regulation and lowering our taxes, we can benefit from that, either bringing North Dakotans back home to work or getting people from our neighboring states to move here to North Dakota because we've got a lower tax environment than, say, Minnesota. Those are all positive things for North Dakota and for our workforce. So you get it, branding matters.
You're obviously confident also about the revenue coming in. Let's talk a little bit about that, because in the past, this has been, as I said, poo-pooed sometimes because, oh, the quote-unquote cost isn't worth the benefit. But again, given what we have in the way of you know, resources in North Dakota, I mean, the rainy day funds are, how many of them are there? You know, I mean, there's so many rainy day funds, I can't keep track of them. And so there's besides that, you're going to have a surplus. So talk a little bit about the overall budget picture.
Well, I think we're running so strongly right now on so many fronts, and you're right, there are lots, and we've never had more reserve funds tucked away in more places than we do right now. But just on the general fund revenues, they're ahead of forecast through this biennium, 18%. That's $452 million ahead. And then our oil tax collections, because of the high oil prices, and now we've got high oil prices, and we've got more rigs coming on than we had a year ago. You know, our oil tax collections are $2.8 billion. That's 44% higher than the forecast, which was around $2 billion. So $800 million ahead on the oil revenues. And all of this, if we continue to, diversify our economy, we got legacy fund going from $8 billion to $9 billion. Rainy day fund is fully funded, about $725 million. Foundation aid stabilization fund for schools is over $6 billion. So we're in the position where, hoarding cash at the state government is not the thing we should be doing. We should be putting those dollars back in the hands of hardworking North Dakotans so they can, whether it's, paying for child care so they can, get back to work, or whether it's investing in their futures or remodeling their home. I mean, all of that helps move the economy forward if we can help reduce the burden on North Dakotans. And this is a great way where the state can directly do that by lowering state income tax.
Texter says, no one cares about income tax. Ask him why not property tax.
I think the anybody who's paying income tax cares about income tax. And so to say no one cares, but yes, there are a lot of people that are frustrated with property taxes, and they should be. We should have a conversation about property taxes. Property taxes are not set by the state. Property taxes are set by cities, counties, school districts, park districts. So if you got an issue with your property taxes, take a look at your property tax bill and call your local elected officials. That's the place to start. The legislature, in an attempt to be responsive to this locally driven issue, has, since 2007, passed 17 pieces of legislation that total over $7 billion of property tax relief. And guess what? $7 billion of transfers of dollars from the state to localities, local political subs, to help them reduce property tax. And guess what? Property tax is often still going up. When inflation drives the price of a house up, if the city doesn't reduce the percentage of tax or the mill levies, then the tax on that house is going to go up. And that's what people are feeling. And so they've got to look at not about, hey, we didn't raise our local mill levels. Take a look at what the local revenues are coming into the school district, the park district, in the school district. And if those revenues are skyrocketing because of inflation or because of valuation or because of growth, those have to be controlled locally, and the state pouring money on it has only exacerbated the problem. So I agree we have to have a conversation about property taxes, but we need a local solution because that's where they're locally leveled, and we need local solutions. The state has proven in the last 15 years that pouring state money on locals often just incentivizes them to keep spending as opposed to reining in the spending at the local levels.
What's your suggestion there for the locals? How do we fix that problem?
Well, I think I believe in local control. I mean, I know that some legislators are frustrated, and I've heard some of them say, hey, maybe we should put, you know, caps on how much a local political subdivision can raise their budgets. I think that those kinds of things are really challenging. It takes away some of the local authority. And again, property taxes, I mean, when someone tells me they're unhappy about their property tax, the first question I ask them is, well, what school district are you in? What city do you live in? What county do you live in? Because depending on those questions, what park district are you in, you're going to have different property taxes because they're set locally by those local entities. You could even be, you know, in the same county and have different property taxes because you're in a different school district. And so it has to be a local solution. There's no one-size-fits-all solution to property taxes that the legislature can tackle, because some places in the state, people aren't complaining about property taxes because there may be some local entities that have done a good job of controlling their local spending and keeping things in check and, you know, designing their infrastructure to fit their budgets. I mean, these are all things that local elected officials can do. But when you pour money in the state on top of the locals, and then we had a bunch of federal money that got poured on locally, some of that money went towards uneconomic growth. And we have to take a hard look at that.
Another listener says, hey, Governor, instead of income tax relief, why not use your bully pulpit to completely eliminate property tax? It's a false narrative to say it's a local issue, because when it's brought up locally, they say they have to follow guidelines set by the State Board of Equalization. Property tax is a tax on unrealized gains, which is a tax Democrats are cheerleaders for. As conservatives, we need to stop accepting their narratives. Instead, we need to be on the offense, promoting sovereignty and true property rights.
Well, there's one thing in that narrative that doesn't hold true, because the state does have a state tax equalization board, but the tax equalization board is about equalization. It's not about rates. And there's, you know, three basic kinds of property taxes where you've got, you know, commercial, residential, and agriculture in North Dakota. And those are the three categories. And what they just say is the state board looks at the counties and is the county unfairly putting too much of their tax weight, say, on ag land versus on residential versus on commercial. So there is guidelines to try to say those should all be equal, so there isn't one group that pays more than the other. But the state tax equalization board doesn't set the levels. I mean, they just want to make sure that there's fairness enforced locally, so one group isn't subsidizing another. But the locals have the complete and total ability to lower their taxes. There are places where there have been caps put on by the state, you know, say on, you know, mill levies on schools, and where they say you can't levy more than this amount, and then the state picks up the rest. And then what do we have? We have the state paying 80% of local school district costs, 80%. And if somebody, you know, came to you, Scott, and said, look, you know, I'm going to pay for 80% of your vacation, guess what? You might choose to, you know, to stay in a better hotel, or you might, you know, go on a, you know, longer trip or something. I mean, when you start subsidizing things, you get more of it. And so the state is subsidizing 80% of the local school district and has zero votes on the local school district board. And so it is a local issue. And if people want to, you know, drive the issue of property tax rates, they got to bring it back to the people that are setting those rates. And they're being set locally.
Short break, and back with more with Governor Doug Burgum. A couple other topics to tackle on the program today. Appreciate the comments, as always, from our fine listeners in the Freedom Matters USA studios. Week from tonight, Bismarck Event Center, Candace Owens. Details at freedommattersusa.com. More after this.
From field to fuel, a story from the North Dakota Ethanol Council. Did you know North Dakota's ethanol industry is a leader in carbon capture? Ethanol is pioneering carbon capture. While the world talks about it, ethanol is doing it. Here, now, reducing the carbon footprint. North Dakota's corn producers are increasingly efficient stewards of the land. producing more on the same land with less inputs. In fact, yields have increased 25 to 42% in the last 20 years using similar levels of inputs. Corn ethanol is our nation's best way to decarbonize transportation today. And corn ethanol has a significantly smaller carbon footprint than gasoline and is getting smaller. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org. A message from the North Dakota Ethanol Council. The tradition started in 1908 for H.A. Thompson & Sons. Harry Abbott Thompson, he was the namesake. He had a son, Harry, and he had a son, Mark. Mark and his wife, Claudia, are now the owners of H.A. Thompson & Sons, operated every day with their daughters as well, helping people save money. You go to hatandsons.com. You'll find out more about the commercial service, the link service they provide that save you money. hatandsons.com. Since 1908, serving North Dakota and the entire Upper Midwest.
Think about it. Gas prices are over $4 per gallon, and Governor Tim Walz wants to raise them even more by adopting California's crazy fuel standards. Say no to gas station inflation. Think about it. The latest California fuel proposal will raise the cost of gas in Minnesota by $2 per gallon. Working families pay more at the pump, while rich guys drive around in electric cars. Visit nogasstationinflation.com for more information. Think about it is brought to you by Center of the American Experiment, Minnesota's think tank.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Buick GMC.com. Your warranty is for a lifetime. New Buicks and GMCs are arriving daily, but there are also 40, at least online, and maybe there's a few that are still they're still getting pictures and stuff and putting them online at SchwannBuickGMC.com, where you can get that lifetime powertrain warranty on a used vehicle as well. 2017 GMC Yukon that was $57,925 is just $48,888. There's lots more. It doesn't even have to be just a Buick or a GMC, too. SchwannBuickGMC.com.
11 before the top of the hour. Kevin's getting ready for the bikes. Purple Damn. Rain, aren't you? Yeah, Prince. I see what you did there. Yeah.
Skull, baby!
NFL kicks off tonight, actually. And I could care. Yeah. I could care less.
I know.
Sorry,
I
just don't.
I know. I don't care about tonight. I care about Sunday at 3:25.
11 before the top of the hour, finishing our chat with Governor Doug Burgum today on what's on your mind. And last chance to weigh in with a question or comment, 258-0550 or text 237-1590. What did you think of as a pro-life governor, as a Trump-supporting governor, as a, you know, secure-the-border governor, being called by your president a threat to democracy?
Well, if you're talking about the so-called speech, you know, to unite America that Biden gave, you know, and again, offensive to me that he had U.S. Marines standing behind him. While he's giving the speech, in the sense that it's fine, a president and the military are tied together, but to try to suggest that that wasn't a political speech, that somehow that was, a policy speech, everybody can see through it, blatantly political. And, you know, and I guess if he was, you know, uniting anybody, he's uniting the left with the far left or something. It was just a political speech, misuse of the office. And I think, again, when you tie it back to the policies, let's talk about, you know, this ruling that just came out about, not environmental groups collaborating with the Biden administration to block leasing on federal land, which, by the way, in law, the administration, Republican or Democrat, is required to hold quarterly leases on federal land. Biden, the report came out last week. He's had the least number of oil leases ever leased during his time in office, going back to Harry Truman. You know, even Obama had more than eight times as many leases than Biden has. And so there, when you're doing that on the same day that Putin is just, he had been doing it for 6 months, and now he's completely weaponizing energy as a weapon. We're not, you know, they're fighting a ground war in Ukraine. The rest of the war, we're fighting an energy war, and Putin is weaponizing it. And so then at a time when Western Europe, Japan, all of our allies need American clean energy, Putin's administration is out saying, let's be united, ha-ha, and then blocking energy development. And you can't separate U.S. energy development from global security. I mean, you can't, in global stability, you can't separate that too. But somehow, they're living in this fantasy land where somehow we can block energy development in the U.S. but still be a strong, you know, stand up strongly to Putin. I mean, when Putin sees that they're blocking energy development in the U.S., he's got to just keep cheering every minute that he's doing it. So whether it's inflation, whether it's Afghanistan withdrawal, whether it's the border, whether it's the energy policies, which the Biden administration is destabilizing the world. I mean, in California, we had last week their legislature passing a law that would ban internal combustion machines by 2035. At the same time, they were moving to a level 2 alert for their grid and telling people, don't run your air conditioners. And by the way, don't plug in your electric car. And this is in a state that's, you know, has the most number of electric cars, 1 million. It's not even 5% of the cars in California, and they're already telling people they want 100% of their cars electric, but even today, we don't have the grid. And guess what? They want more power, but you can't build a transmission line across a blue state. You can't build a gas line, an oil line, you know, across any of these states. And so we've basically got a national security risk where southwestern part of the country, L.A., the northeastern New York, who both block natural gas pipelines, they both have to import oil from foreign sources. Yeah. You know, just to be able to operate. So the whole thing makes no economic sense, makes no political sense, and it actually makes no environmental sense, because if you cared about the environment, you'd want every barrel of oil produced in the United States.
I saw a comment. Somebody said, oh, that's no big deal because most of the California homes have solar panels. When it's like 10% of the California homes have solar panels.
And then why are they worried about, a grid meltdown? And they came in within inches of their life. On the grid shutdowns and the rolling blackouts. So, yeah, no, you're exactly right, Governor. Well said. Quickly here, one more email. Governor, thank you for your service to the state. After living through COVID, I realized how much power a governor has. No one's proven this more than Florida's Governor DeSantis. Between shutdowns, early treatment for COVID, standing up against school unions, ESG, CRT, transgender surgery on minors, and many other proactive conservative actions. Briefly, tell me what you agree or disagree with Ron DeSantis on. And you got a little half minute for that.
I would just say I've had an opportunity to meet Ron through the Republican Governors Association. I think he's doing a fantastic job in Florida, and I had a chance to moderate a panel that he was on with other Republican governors, and I just you know, that organization. We've got great Republican governors across the country that are, you know, fighting for freedom and liberty every day. And, you know, proud to be part of that, proud to be on the executive committee. We've got 28 Republican governors. We hope to get that number up to 30, 31 or 32 after the elections this fall. I think we have a shot at doing that. And, you know, defend all of our incumbents and turn some of these, you know, blue states red again. So really enjoying all that work.
That's a noble goal. I know we got to let you go to the Tribal Leaders Summit. Governor, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
Folks, we're out of time for today. Never enough time. We'll do it again tomorrow. Open phone Friday. God bless. Bye-bye.
If it's innovative and ag-related, it'll be at the Big Iron Farm Show, the Midwest's largest ag show at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds, September 13th to 15th, presented by Cass County Farm Bureau. Kick the tires and see in-field demonstrations. Experience Midwest agribusiness at its best. Explore over 500 exhibitors. See the latest in agriculture. Hear from industry leaders. Don't miss the 42nd annual Big Iron Farm Show, September 13th through the 15th. Details at BigIronFarmShow.com.
Think about it. Gas prices are over $4 per gallon, and Governor Tim Walz wants to raise them even more by adopting California's crazy fuel standards. Say no to gas station inflation. Think about it. The latest California fuel proposal will raise the cost of gas in Minnesota by $2 per gallon. Working families pay more at the pump, while rich guys drive around in electric cars. Visit NoGasStationInflation.com for more information. Think About It is brought to you by Center of the American Experiment, Minnesota's think tank.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. Dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.